your innovation, your creativity, your ability, your skill. Don't you think God wired that into you from the beginning? Because God knows your future. And you get to steward all of those things. But if you steward it fairly well, then you become someone that God actually brings a gift through to advance the kingdom of God. And we work together in that. Then if the prophet, priests, and kings work together, there's virtually nothing that will be impossible in order for God's purpose for this community to be completed.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. The Bible has a lot to say about money. It tells us that money is neither good nor evil. The issue is not whether we have money. The real question, does money have us? Our true character is often determined by how we think about money. Well, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, How to Think About Money.
How do you think about money? We're about to do an experiment. I'm going to ask you to just kind of go with me for a little bit, okay? Humor me. Are you ready? Everybody good?
Yep.
All right. It won't be weird or strange. Okay, take out your wallets or your purse. Put it on your lap. Everyone, go on. Take out your wallet. Right here, like this. And if you don't have a wallet or a purse, take out your iPhone. That's just as vulnerable. And I want you to unlock it. Push in your passcode. And hold it right in front of you. Okay? Everybody got it? All right. Okay, you're going to have to trust me. I want you now to pass it to your right. Go ahead. Pass it to your right. Yeah. Pass it to your right. Take the persons next to you. Yeah. Right now, the blood pressure increased 15 points. And you want it to go up a little bit more? Pass it down one more. Now you'll notice how vigilant you've become. Okay, now, ushers, we're going to take an offering. No, I'm just kidding. All right, return back, one. Return back, two. Now there's a collective sigh. Because I wanted you to understand that for momentarily you held in your hands the God of this world. The God that basically you organize your life around. And sometimes we espouse that it's God, but is it really? Underlying is the God of the world that the Bible calls mammon. It's that which grabs your spirit and holds on. So you can espouse and you can declare and confess what you want, but really, I have you. One of the last bastions of surrender to Jesus is right here. And that's why Jesus speaks so much about it. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Well, if I give a tithe, does God want something from me? No, the reason God asks us to be generous is so he can get something to you. Because what we do activates the windows of heaven. And it starts by giving, not receiving. I mean, how many times are you going to go up to the fireplace and say, give me heat, and then I'll give you wood? No. You give first, and then you receive. That's just a principle of the universe, of nature. And God has worked that in. And so today, we want to talk about how do you think about money? And I'd like to call it God's boot camp. At the top of your notes, there's a scripture there I'd like us to kind of zero in on. So could you take that out? And it'll also come up on the board. And let's read it nice and loudly together. Are you ready? Go. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Yeah, God is saying that if you cannot be faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can I ever entrust to you true riches? The riches that really equal life, equate to health and relationships and harmony and a marriage that's good and kids that are good and a future that is bright. That's what true riches are about. It's not just mammon. Your life is worth so much more than just the accumulation of wealth. It's got so much more purpose than that. But how we handle this is God's boot camp for the rest of life. So there's a test that goes on. So you say, well, what are some of the principles of this boot camp? You see, when you go to Army boot camp or whatever, military department's boot camp, it's called basic. or basic training. In other words, the principles that you're going to learn in boot camp apply and are transferable to every other area that you're going to be serving in. And so God's boot camp is like unto that. So there's three principles that I'd like you to catch today in as we think about money and stewarding it. I wish someone would have taught me this earlier. I'm glad I learned it in my 20s about tithing and etc. I remember a friend of mine came to me when I was here in Eugene before I went back home to Hawaii where I was for 38 years. He said, "Wayne, do you tithe?" I said, No, I don't have I don't make enough to tithe. I work for the ministry." He said, "You can't afford not to tithe." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Do you want to buy a house one day?" "Yeah." "Then give God a chance. Put him first. Put him first. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first. And you want him to bless your marriage? Put him first. You want him to bless your finance? Put him first there. Your life? Put him first. Put him first and watch what God's about to do." So I began. And it wasn't long after that we bought our first house. Now, this was back in the dark ages, so you have to remember. But I bought our first house for $73,000. Sold it for about $160,000, and then bought the next one for $135,000, sold it for $240,000, and then went to Hawaii and just parlayed it 8 more houses. And I look back and I think, you know, God blessed because of some principles back there that I needed to put God first, not last. And I couldn't just say, no, I'm just going to postpone it. Here's three principles of boot camp. Are you ready? Number one, excuse me, it's the principle of the first fruits. Would you write that down? Principle of the first fruits. As I said, honor God from the first fruits, because whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. Let's read it together. Go. "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." Would you read it with me again, nice and loudly, like your thespians reading Shakespeare? Go. "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." He uses an agrarian kind of illustration that your barns and the fields, etc. In the old days, when it was agricultural, if you'll read in the book of Ruth, you'll notice that Boaz would harvest his field but leave intentionally a bunch for the poor to come in, and the word is glean. And he'd actually tell his workers, "Don't go back, leave it, because that's intentional." Later on, they would say they would have something called the Lord's acre. So if you had 10 acres of fruit, 1 acre belonged to God, and that would go to the work of the Lord to advance the kingdom. Later on, went from agrarian or agricultural days to industrial. So people didn't have acreage, they had a paycheck. And so they would still accord a tenth of that, the first tenth, towards the Lord's work. So you're a part of an age ancestral tradition of honoring God in order to reach our community. Because although the gospel is free, the method through which the gospel is going to be communicated costs, whether it's paper, media, television, radio, whatever it might be. And so we all get to be a part of that because we want to put our hand to the plow and not just our intention. So God says, honor the Lord from your wealth. So some people say, "Wayne, that's an Old Testament thing." It is, but it's also new. What? Yeah, you see, the Pharisees used to say, "I'm going to give my tithe, I'm going to tithe for everything to buy distance from God." Say, what are you talking about? You see, they thought that they could just give the money and then God would leave them alone. "Don't hold me accountable. No consequences. I can do whatever I want to. Just leave me alone here." And Jesus says, oh no. They used to tithe even off of herbs. They'd get a little bit of salt. They would tithe a few grains. I mean, they were so specific. And Jesus picks up on that and says something very interesting. Read it with me, would you? It'll come up on the screen. "Woe to you." Go. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done," here it is, "without neglecting the others." In other words, it's not an either or, it's a both and. Yes, we want you to tithe, the Lord says, but I don't want you to then neglect mercy and justice and faithfulness. Do both. Otherwise, what we'll do is we'll just do a little bit and then we leave the rest and we think we're unaccountable. God says, no, let's live a balanced life, a whole life. And this is one portion. It's not all of life, but it's an important part. So let's learn it in and amongst everything else. There's a story of a little boy. The mother gave him 2 quarters and said, now, son, if you'll go to church and you put 1 quarter in the offering, you can take the other and go buy candy on your way home. Ooh, the little boy said, this is great. So he skips off to church, and in his skipping, he's jingling the 2 quarters in his pocket. And as he gets closer to church, one of the quarters pops out of his pocket, rolls down the street, ding, 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 goes right into a manhole that has a grating over it. Boom, and there it is, down at the bottom on the mud. Oh, he reaches his arm down as far as he could reach to try and get it. Just couldn't reach it. Tears, big tears came to his eyes, and he looked up into heaven and said, dear God, there goes your quarter. God gives us enough so that we can be faithful in every area in the kingdom of God is actually advanced. That's why he says this in 2 Corinthians 9. And would you read it with me? Go. And God, who supplies seed for the sower and bread to eat, will also supply you with all the seed you need and will make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your... Did you know that God says, I'm like a supplier for farmers. I'm going to give you 2 bags of seed. One is for bread. You grind it into flour and make bread. This one is for planting. Don't eat this one. Otherwise, you won't have a harvest for your future. Now, if you will steward this is part of the boot camp. If you will steward this and understand that, then you'll have plenty for eating, bread for eating, and seed for sowing. And if you catch that balance, you'll live indeed a balanced life. Tithing. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. Put him first. If you want God to bless your dating, put him first in your dating. I tell my granddaughters, when you go out on a date, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to put it right between you and that boy that's driving the car. They said, why, Grandpa? I said, because before they can get to you, they got to get over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if they do, they get the axe. 2nd principle of boot camp, not only tithes, but offerings. Offerings. God speaks of both. He said, well, what's offerings? It's the tithe is what I give, and that's just basic. And then I actually have a separate account that any monies that I get, whether it's an honorarium or I get royalties from the books that I write, I put it into a separate account. And from here, I give offerings. I don't take it from my budget. It's a different checkbook. I have one that's actually for giving, for generosity. And so as God blesses, I put it in there, and I can give freely to whatever I like. That's tithes and offerings. Now, that's a part of the seed because I want a rich harvest tomorrow for the church, for my family, for my grandkids, that God will open the windows of heaven, not just window, my salary, windows, harmony in life, good relationships, kids that love Jesus, a marriage that's good, so many other things. There's so many windows, and we don't want to just have one window. God says, if you'll be faithful in this boot camp principle thing, I will open the windows of heaven and watch what happens. Let's read what Malachi says in the area of offerings. Would you read it with me? Go. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. Oh, you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. And I scratched my head and I thought, I don't rob God. That's crazy. Well, let me give you a parallel illustration. The Government Accountability Office, GAO, said this and comes up on the board. Between 18 and 22, those years, the government loses $233 billion to $521 billion that goes into individual pockets and never gets to solve the intended purposes. Did you know up to 500 billion or half a trillion is skimmed off and we don't know where it goes? Pretty interesting. And then just recently, December 4th, which is just a few months ago, the same Government Accountability Office, which is now DOGE, Doge, but the Government Accountability Office said this, watch this, 36, just one example of many, 36 billion was allocated to help tribal families with clean water, education, healthcare, and law enforcement. Watch this, but only 3% arrived towards its purpose. 97% was taken. Do you say that? Would you call that robbing the government? Robbing our taxes? Robbing our intention? And that's what Malachi is saying. If God gives us that intentionality and we eat the seed that we should plant for a harvest, we rob God? And then I thought, Malachi, now I'm starting to understand. That's why he says this, listen, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there might be food in my house. Test me, God says. And he doesn't often say, test me. Test me. Go ahead. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates, or the other word is windows, plural, of heaven, and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord God Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. God is saying, bring the whole tithe in your storehouse. The storehouse is where you get your spiritual food from, which is your home church, basically, because there you'll get advice, you'll get prayer, you'll get people to help you, you'll get spiritual food from the Word of God that encourages you, upbuilds you, emboldens you for the things of God. If there is a marriage problem or a death in the family, this is that storehouse. So he says, you bring that tithe into the storehouse and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven for you. Now, we as God's people have to understand some of the basics of all of that. But really, is it a matter of math like the accountants are saying? It's really a matter of the heart. And that's what God appeals to. It's our heart today. That's what's on display. That's why we held that wallet in our hand saying, this is the God of this world. Yeah, because we can have all kinds of confessions and commitments, but who's really the Lord and who do we organize our life around? So that is a huge transition. You make that, it's a matter of the heart. The heart changes. I had a staff person come to me once and they said, you know, I can't tithe, Wayne, because I just don't make enough. So I tell you what, I'm going to give you a raise of 10%. And I want you to use that 10% to tithe. So I gave him a raise of 10%. I checked on him 4 months later. Guess what? He ate all of that seed. And I thought, it's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Not a matter of income. God doesn't want us to, just when we get X amount to be able to tithe, it's just be faithful with whatever I give you. Because if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in. If you're unfaithful in little, you'll be unfaithful in. And that's why if you look at the talents, he gave one talent, another three, and another five. And then he said, invest it. The one with the five invested it and got a bunch more. And he said, good job. The one with three invested it and didn't get as much as the five. But did you know that the reward was exactly the same? Because God doesn't look at amounts. He looks at faithfulness. It's a matter of the heart. And then we start to understand, what are you going to do when you hold all the cards? I remember a story of this preacher saying to the people, he said, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we have all the money we need for the addition of our church. Everyone goes, yay, yay. Bad news, it's still in your pockets. What are you going to do when you hold all the cards? God's boot camp for life. How do you think about money? Tithes, offerings. But here's a third principle. And the third principle comes in three offices. And you've heard it before. Prophet, priests, and kings. Prophets, priests, and kings. I'm going to talk to you, especially to those of you that are kings, women and men. And you say, well, I'm not one of those. Oh, let me explain. A prophet is someone who speaks to people representing God. So I represent God and I speak to people. That's a prophet. A priest is someone who represents people and speaks to God on their behalf. Prophet represents God and speaks to people on his behalf, speaking words that would give direction, instruction, courage, etc. The priest intercedes for the people and speaks to God on their behalf. And often a pastor will probably play both of those roles, or a group of people in the church that would speak and encourage people, their advisors, their counselors, their mentors. That's that prophetic in 1 Corinthians 12:3. It speaks about those who speak as prophets speak for encouragement, edification, consolation. So we understand that. It's encouraging. And priests intercede for the people. But what are kings? Did you know that we have kings today? And there's a bunch even in this group right here. Potential kings. Those that are already. But what are kings? Kings in today's society are those that God has gifted, and probably mostly financially, to be able to advance the kingdom of God in this community through what God has gifted them to steward. Finances. More than most people might have. You say, whoa, wait a minute, Wayne. I earned every penny I got. Oh, absolutely. But in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, it says, or 8:18, it says this: don't forget this, remember this. It is the Lord God who has even given you the power to create wealth. Your innovation, your creativity, your ability, your skill, your work ethic, everything about you. Don't you think God wired that into you from the beginning? Because God knows your future. And you get to steward all of those things, but if you steward it fairly well, then you become someone that God actually brings a gift through to advance the kingdom of God, and we work together in that. And if those that are kings utilize their gifts correctly, then if the prophet, priests, and kings work together, there's virtually nothing that will be impossible in order for God's purpose for this community to be completed. And that's why God has raised us up. But if we'll understand the basics of God's principles in his boot camp, we start to, now I'm starting to understand. And if those that are leaders don't step up to lead the way forward, those that are not will rise up and hinder the way forward with their closed minds or fear of the future or fear of taking risks. We need those that would be kings to partner in this day with the prophets and the priests. And when we do, you'll see God's purposes for this community fulfilled. And we had the honor of being a part of this. Let me finish with this fun little story. There's a church way in the south, Baptist church, that, you know, a lot of rednecks in Texas. And and so there's a real Baptist, and they kind of cheer on the pastor when he's preaching. And so pastor said, "We're just a little church. And when we started, we were faithful and we had to crawl." And the people in the back of, "Let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl." "But we can't just keep crawling," the pastor said. "We got to get up and walk." The people in the church go, "Let it walk, pastor, let it walk." They said, "But we just can't walk if we're going to reach this community. We got to run." And the people, "Let it run, preacher, let it run. In order for us to run, we got to put that expansion up for our church. That's going to cost $12 million. We got to give." Someone in the back said, "Let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl." If the kings don't step up, those who shouldn't will. And their voices will be heard. But we want to be a people who understand God's boot camp. And say, "God, I'm starting to understand it. That as we are people of generosity and we're faithful, faithful in what you've given to us." Because it's all about being faithful in whatever we have. When you are, God says, "We'll work together. Because there's gifts that I've scattered throughout this place. And when we work together and understand what the kingdom of God is as basic foundational principles, the purpose I have for this community will be fulfilled in this place. And one day you'll turn around and say, God has been faithful by his amazing grace. And the greatest thing, he included us. This is our run. Let's do it well." Can you say amen to that?
You've been listening to a message entitled How to Think About Money by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust this message has helped you see and understand money from God's perspective. Until next time, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
God is saying, bring the whole tithe in your storehouse. The storehouse is where you get your spiritual food from, which is your home church, basically, because there you'll get advice, you'll get prayer, you'll get people to help you, you'll get spiritual food from the Word of God that encourages you, upbuilds you, emboldens you for the things of God. If there is a marriage problem or a death in the family, this is that storehouse. So he says, you bring that tithe into the storehouse and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven for you.
Now, for all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.